best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question: which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now. Hello, friends. I'm happy to welcome you to a special episode of this Book Show podcast, Your Book, My Time. You may recall that I had Bert Forman on as a guest. He was a writer in the book Voices 19, which I am calling a book for our time. Bert and I are working on something very special together, which we are going to launch at the end of June. In the meantime, Bert contacted me and said to me, "I'd like to speak about the hate shooting in Buffalo. Could we do it on your platform?" And I said yes immediately. One of the reasons I created a platform is to give voice where voice needs to be heard. And so when I was given an opportunity to speak out about this, I said yes. Bert, I want to welcome you again to the show, and I want to thank you for reaching out to speak about this.
Thank you, Susan. As I share with you, I thought this was important enough of a conversation that we truly need to have this now, and it needs to be ongoing. So I truly thank you for allowing this time for us to have this dialogue and this conversation, and truly hoping that it inspires others.
Well, I'm going to go right to the end first, Bert. As people who have heard us together know, we are not scripted. And so sorry to pull this on you, but I wanted to go right to the end first. Sure. I asked you, what is your goal here? Why did you want to do this? And you said to me, "I want people to stop and look at something through someone else's lens." And that is the frame in which we are speaking tonight. We are here inviting people to stop and look at something through someone else's lens. So Bert, why don't you get started with what it is that you want to share this evening?
You know, again, thanks, Susan. And you're exactly right. That's truly what I want everyone to stop and do. Just put themselves in someone else's shoes for a moment. And, you know, I came to you with this and I asked the question of, how did we get here? You know, even to the point of the shooting that here where I live in California here recently as well, you know, how did we get to this point of hate? How did we get to this point of someone having a desire to carry out these acts? And I look back over my life and I look back at some events that happen, and I stop and I think about them and I try to figure out not just what happened in that moment, but what happened prior to that moment. An example would be when I was about 7 years old. My brother Vince and I went to the store, I think it's around 4th of July, to buy fireworks. We had saved up enough money just for that day to go and buy fireworks. And we get there and I get my little bag full of fireworks and I go to check out. And there were two gentlemen there, one behind the counter and one just talking to him on this side of the counter. And as I'm going up to pay, you know, the gentleman on this side closest to me just looked at me with a little smile and said, "Hey, why don't you try this one? It's called an inward chaser." Of course, he didn't say it. He said the word. And that was the first time really that that word had been used towards me that I could remember in a way that made me feel kind of uncomfortable. And again, I'm 7 years old. And so I look at that and I remember the feeling and the impact that it had, but not truly realizing the long-term effect that it's going to have. Another incident, I was in Boy Scout camp and I was on my way back from one of my classes to go back to my camp to pick something up. And on my way, I had to go through this path to get to our camp. And on the way there, one of the troops, and I heard them kind of yelling, I couldn't really make out what was going on. But as I got closer, I realized that they were yelling at me, same type of language, using the N-word, throwing it out there and threatening me, you know, physically. But I kept walking and I didn't let that faze me, although internally it truly did for a lot of reasons. One, I'm at Boy Scout camp, you know, and just not the place you expect something like that to happen. But, you know, in that, I do remember, and I'm forever grateful to this guy, he actually asked his colleagues to stop and to leave me alone in that and share with them that that wasn't the behavior we should, as scouts, but more so as humans, we shouldn't carry out that behavior. And the last bit was, I was at school in junior high and we were having lunch and I was sitting down with a group of my friends and I don't remember how the conversation started and went down his path, but I remember one guy saying, "You know, Bert, there's N-words and there's coloreds. You're colored. You're one of the good ones." And I stop and I start thinking about all of these events that happened, and there are more, but these three really, I start thinking about, and I start thinking about, it would be truly easy for me to label each one of these folks with a certain label. It'd be truly easy to do that. But then I started to drill down to example, the gentleman at the counter, it would be easy for me to say he's racist because of what he said. But maybe, just maybe, he was looking at it from a lens of, this is what I've always been taught. I don't see anything wrong with it. And so I'm just going to say it to this little kid who should think it's funny too. From the Boy Scout perspective, same thing. Now that, as I come to find out later, that truly was a racist moment, as you know, the things they said to me. But interestingly enough, later on, I got to know them. And we actually, I don't want to say we became friends, but we did become acquaintances and we actually developed a bond. Hmm. With the last kid, again, it would be easy for me to say he was racist, but that's just, it's possible that that could be just what he was taught. And I don't know whether he is or he isn't. But going back to, you know, your opening statement about my call to action, before we start labeling, let's kind of take a step back and understand the why. And maybe that helps us understand how we get here. Now, the young man in Buffalo, that's pure hate. There's no question. There is nothing to question there. He right. wrote about it. He planned it. He carried it out.
Yeah, that's why I called it a hate shooting.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And these are the things that we need to stop and think about as we are going through this. What caused that hate? What fueled it? Even if, for example, the gentleman who, you know, said the words at the store, even if he wasn't racist or had nothing against anyone else, it's that type of dialogue, it's those type of things that can then perpetuate to and grow into the true hatred that turns into the events that happened in Buffalo.
Yeah. You know, you use the word dialogue. what you meant was term in reference to him. He used a certain type of term. But the word dialogue does come up for me, and because that's what we want to be doing here. We invite people to share their comments with us, share their thoughts of whatever platform you're seeing us on, whether you're live with us or if you're watching this by replay. We will see and respond to your comments. And Bert, this is what I'm doing here. I'm listening. I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm thinking of the 7-year-old boy. The 7-year-old boy experiencing that, the way you shared the story with us, it didn't feel like it immediately went to hate for you because you were young. You just said it felt off. And then later you said with the Boy Scout episode, I came to find out that was racism. You know, before we came live here, we talked about this idea of racism, and sometimes people begin to tune out. I'm asking any person who's listening to this today to tune in. That is what our goal is here today. It's to tune in, to listen, and to participate in the dialogue. So, Bert, what else do you want to say about this idea of how people learn hate and as you called it before, the why and what we can do about it?
Well Susan, you actually kind of touched on it. Like you said, as when I was 7 years old and I heard this, I wasn't sure what to feel. You know, there was actually a part of me that was a little frightened, quite frankly. One, there's an older gentleman there and I'm just this little kid. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to do. And I wasn't truly versed in the term completely yet, but I knew that it wasn't positive. It was a negative term. And so, to your exact point, it could have fueled hate for me, but instead it made me question and made me want to understand, why would he say that to me? I don't even know you. I didn't do anything to you. Why? And so part of the challenge is, and this isn't a unilateral type of conversation. This isn't us and them. This is, hey, let me look in the mirror to see what I'm doing on my side here. Because many times, you know, we look at it, and I'm just going to say, as a Black male, it with everything that I see in the media and things that I've experienced, it would be very easy for me to be filled with hate and rage.
Well, let's be clear again. It's not just what you see in the in the media. It's, as you said, also what you've experienced.
Right. And it would just be very easy for me to feel a certain way. But I am truly just passionate about trying to get rid of this whole mindset. You know, it may be impossible, but I'll die trying. And the only way to truly get rid of it and help people understand it is to look at myself to see what I'm doing. And this is the next thing I'm going to say. It probably won't be a popular term. It's a popular sentiment with some folks, but that's okay. We need to have those tough conversations with ourselves. How do I get people to change their perception of me? Is to have a very positive perception of myself and to display that outwardly. If I am constantly going around putting myself down, putting people like me down, calling myself names that I would rather not have anybody outside of a certain group call me, I'm asking for that certain group to call me that because I'm giving them permission then to say, it's okay to call him that. He does it himself, or that group does it themselves. So it's okay if I do it. No, it's not. It's not okay if you do it. It's not okay if we do it. And these are the things we need to stop and ask ourselves, what are we doing to end that hatred, to end this biasness, you know, either me towards you or vice versa. And if we are not willing to change or evolve our mindset, we truly can't expect anyone else to change and evolve theirs. And that's where I believe the young man who in Buffalo didn't have someone guide him that way. Again, this is all speculation. I don't know. And it would be interesting to find out why anyone has that mindset to at least to take it that far. That is, again, pure hatred. How do we evolve?
Well, it's pure hatred and mental illness. I mean, combined, unfortunately, somebody, there must be mental, incapacity to then absorb the hatred that you're talking about that they hear and receive. And
sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, Susan.
No, I was just going to say, and then to act, enact or act out on that. And so go ahead. I want to let you make your comment before I go say something.
Yeah, I challenge the mental illness part because I think it's mindset. I think it's you've been taught these certain things. And again, this is all opinion.
Yeah.
I believe sometimes we give certain groups mental illness alibis and outs when the truth of the matter is it's probably something deeper, a deeper hatred that's been planted when they were 7 years old. And then it festered and it was watered and it grew. And then it was watered some more and it grew some more. And this is just their mindset. Just like I was taught to love growing up, they were taught to hate growing right. up, potentially.
Well, so just even as you say that, I can't disagree. It's just that that came out of my mouth because it's impossible. It's literally impossible for me to imagine any person in what we would call sanity. That's why I said that. But I don't want to make it an alibi either. I get your point. Believe me. Right. It's so impossible for me to believe that any of those people who are doing these things are in any level of sanity. But I would be naive to say that I don't know about, I don't see the level of sheer hate that you're talking about, which actually became condoned, gets condoned in part in many different ways, let's just say.
Right. And again, you touch on something as well that sparked a thought. You're exactly right. And again, going back to the 7-year-old boy incident, that behavior obviously was condoned and accepted by that gentleman and the other gentleman on the other side of the counter because he said nothing. Quite frankly, he chuckled about it. And so that's the thing. It's like it's all condoned. And
yes.
Then from there, it grows and becomes more acceptable and then even more acceptable. And then to the point where it's commonplace. And then to the point where if you speak out against it, you're the problem. You're just too sensitive or you don't understand. Well, let me tell you what this condoning has done. One, it allowed the situation to happen in Buffalo. Secondly, let's now think about not, God rest their souls, all the lives that were lost and then the families impacted. But beyond that, think about a people now, a whole demographic of people. I'll tell you, as I now go and ride my bike or I go to the store, guess what I'm thinking? This could happen to me. None of those folks thought it could happen to them, but now more people are thinking this could happen to them for a very specific reason of hate. And so now look at the ripple effect of all of that. And so this is why my call to action, put yourself in someone else's shoes. If you don't have to fear going to the grocery store because someone's going to shoot you down because they hate your skin color, then you need to stop and look at someone else's life for half a second and look at it through their lens and try to understand and then ask yourself, what can I do to prevent that and to stop that mindset from evolving?
Let's just say that again. if you don't have to fear going to the grocery store because someone hates your skin color, then let's invite you to look at that again, to see through that lens. My daughter lives 4 miles away from that Tops. And it was very difficult, striking and shocking situation. And they did have to go to the market, and they went to another place at another store. And within a few days, they were in great awareness. But she does have white skin. And Bert, this is one of the reasons I feel like you gave me an opportunity by you asking a favor to, to speak about this. And that's why I said yes. And that was, I think, a day or two ago. And we got right to it, because this conversation, this dialogue cannot wait. It cannot wait another minute. People are suffering. You talked earlier about, I think you were talking about a manager after George Floyd was killed. And when that happened, I remember posting, managers, your team members are hurting. And be aware that any people of color who work for you, they need your support right now. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. As you said, when that happened, again, it's, you can only watch so many things happen to people like you before it starts to spill over, and you start again to feel some type of way and start having different thoughts and all these things. And, I had a conversation with my manager at the time, he and I were just talking, and he asked me, he said, Bert, what can I do to help? And I just simply said, similar to what you stated, just keep in mind that because it doesn't happen to you or you can't see it, that don't think that it doesn't exist. Don't think that people are exaggerating. Be thankful, actually, that you do not have to endure any of these things, and count yourself blessed. But know that other people actually do go through this. They're not exaggerating. They're not making things up.
Right.
It's their reality.
Right.
And we have to all be aware of that and try to figure out a way to help each other with it. Until that point, we're going to keep spinning our wheels doing the same thing.
I just want to say that, Bert, it comes over me frequently about the big issues, the big reality, the big ugly truth of so many things, where sometimes it's so overwhelming to me. This whole conversation, it's happening to me again. It comes over me about how small I am and how powerless I am. But you know what? We're not powerless.
Right.
We are having this conversation this evening, and we are using the platform that we have and inviting others to join us in this conversation. We're inviting others to think about it and see through the lens of another. See through the lens of another. And so how much impact it has, I'm not sure, Bert, to tell you the truth. But you and I, we're in the destiny game. And in the destiny game, you're in it for life. And so any one person who's listening to us, who is interested in this conversation, who is motivated, intrigued, and inspired to have a conversation further with people they know, I think that's what we're doing here. And I think that's the best that you and I can do right now, Bert.
Right. I agree. And it's just keeping the conversation going and just really trying to get people. And like I said, it's not unilateral. It's bilateral and multilateral for that matter. Looking at someone who is completely opposite of them and trying to understand, you know, where they're coming from, their point of view and their perspective. And most importantly, listen. Listen to what they are saying. And sometimes, even more important than that, listen to what they're not saying. Listen to, watch what they're experiencing, and then watch how they respond when you ask a certain question or behave a certain way. If they, if their emotions show, or they, you know, somehow non-verbally verbalize something, take a step back and say, you know what, maybe what I did was not appropriate, or maybe it hurt them, or maybe it's, you know, you don't know. Find out. Ask the question.
Ask the question.
It's that simple. The more we talk about these things, the better we have an understanding we have. And again, it goes all ways. It's not just you trying to understand me and me trying to understand you. It's truly us all trying to understand each other to really live, you know, a more harmonized way, you know, in our lives.
I want to give a shout out to my friend Kathleen McLean of the McLean Consulting Group, who has taught me so much just by modeling and also by speaking and by her language. And I've learned from observing, because I am active observation of the best question that your manager asked. I wrote it down when you said it. What can I do? And sometimes we don't even know if we should ask the question, Bert. We don't even know if we should bring it up or not bring it up. You know, and I've learned from Kathleen and my friend Michelle Talbert, and now you in this conversation, that we can bring it up. We can talk about it. In fact, we must. Right. What can I do to help? And if you see somebody suffering, open up, like just open your energy up, listen, observe, and engage.
Absolutely. And, you know, I tell this to a lot of folks all the time, and my kids and all, and like, you got to start getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Because if we just stay in our comfort zones, we're never going to evolve. We're never going to grow. And this is one of those situations where we have to have those uncomfortable conversations. And after we get past that point, you may actually find that it becomes a little bit more comfortable. And quite frankly, you may find that you have more in common than you thought you did. That's what happened with me and the Boy Scout.
I was very interested in that when you said that.
Yeah. So we ended up having a whole lot more in common than we didn't have in common. And again, it was a great situation. And those are the times, that's not going to happen every single time, but that shows me that it can happen. Hmm. It tells me that we do have an opportunity to adjust mindset in someone else, and quite frankly, them and me, because after that, what I thought of them as I was walking down that pathway changed after I got to know them. After I understood a little bit more about their background, turns out they were quite troubled and they were given options. Well, actually, there was no option. They had to join the Boy Scout to try to straighten them out. Mm-hmm. And so it helped me understand a little bit more about them and a little bit more about where their mindset evolved from.
Well, sorry, I just want to say, to the point, they didn't know you, you didn't know them, but the minute you engaged, you had some conversation, obviously, you had some dialogue, and you said, I got to know him, you got to know his personal story, you could see the troubled background, et cetera, et cetera. So we just have about another minute. I just want to let people know that we're delighted to have you joining us for this live conversation this evening. Again, if you're watching this by replay, please type in hashtag replay so that we know you were here. We're interested in your comments. And I asked Bert, you know, in the beginning, what we wanted to do next. And he said, I knew you were going to ask me that question. And so we are willing to have a Zoom conversation live with the two of us. if people put in the comments that you want to continue this dialogue, you want to have some conversation, our agenda is clear. We are inviting you to see through the lens of another. And we're willing to show up and have conversation about that. And so if you're interested and you'd like to contact either of us through the comments or make any comments, we'd be happy to have them. Bert, thank you for this conversation. You and I were going to be really engaging, and we're not going to let this conversation go. As we talk about destiny, this will be part of the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Susan. I truly appreciate the opportunity to speak about this. I think it's that important.
It's that important. Thank you, Bert. All right. I'll see you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.